7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 39 of Color of Magic, your gaming podcast where we try to give people some airtime that wouldn't otherwise get it. And to take you on that journey, I am your host, Daquan Watson. And on this journey with me is my wonderful co-host, Brian Allen. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Got a lot of positive things happening. Maybe, fingers crossed, getting into a new house here in the near future. Maybe even a new computer, so.
Man, new house stuff is one of those things that people get super stressed about, but yeah. It's always an awesome big deal when you get into the new place.
It is a lot. We just had the inspection, you know, the whole purpose of the inspection is for them to tell you, oh, your house is falling apart. We're only going to pay you such and such for it.
That's true. That's true.
The inspector's mission. It's like a mechanic. They're going to find something wrong. It's their job.
Yeah, that's just part of the back and forth negotiation, right? Of just, all right, we'll fix these two or three things, but we'll bring the price down like $2,000 so y'all can, I don't know, get a new water heater or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
I've always hated negotiating, so this is my least favorite part. I guess probably almost everybody's least favorite part.
Oh, yeah. But it's a big deal, though. Getting something that you and the family want and can use makes all the sense in the world. So awesome. Hopefully you get your own office and a new computer soon.
That's the plan.
Well, all right. So actually, I need to point out some things here. For people that don't know, if you aren't on our Discord or whatnot, which is for our patrons, but we told everybody that yesterday, this is our second attempt at recording this episode because we lost some content. Like, for whatever reason, we don't know if it was most likely server side. We don't think it was personal equipment, but we lost all of Brian's audio. So that would have been a really weird episode to hear me talking to myself.
And pausing for responses. It would be the part
yeah, that's also true. It would have been very awkward. It would have been like a weird one-person act.
Like a Bob Newhart bit.
Yeah, exactly. So this is our second attempt. So if we sound a little weird, you know, we're trying to attack some of the conversations from slightly different angles, whatever. So you still get original content and we're not just like faking it for the recording because that's just weird. I don't want to be one of those people. But anyway, just if it has a little bit of a different feel, wanted to point that out. But since I mentioned it, you know, we did tell people in our Discord about this. So if you would like to be part of our Discord, join us over on our Patreon. It is just Color of Magic over on Patreon. You can find it there. But we want to give some thank yous to our new patrons. So the latest ones, I believe, our list is Joe Money, James McAy, Ian, I am going to say that because it's spelled differently than Ian, Benjamin R. and the Wizard Staff. Thank you very much for joining that. You know, I tell everybody every little bit helps, every little bit matters. I mean, I actually was able to pay Brian this month. So
positive things are happening.
Yeah, so that's a big deal, you know. We're able to pay Brian, made a little bit of money, and actually paid, like, the podcast actually completely paid for itself and allowed us to put a little money in our pocket. So that's awesome.
Our baby is taking its first steps.
Our baby's at least crawling. I don't know about first steps.
Yeah. But
it's at least crawling. It's at least moving enough that we're panicking and having to put the little child safety latches on the doors.
Yep.
So yeah, let's hop right into it with the soapbox. And I think I have a soapbox topic here that you're going to relate to a little bit, Brian.
Okay.
But people got to stop treating content creators like we're a bunch of trained monkeys for their entertainment.
Preach.
I mean, seriously, like I've been following the number of people that have been like, hey, look at this awesome food I learned to make during isolation or whatever. And somebody's like, I didn't come here for food pictures. I just follow you for your gaming content. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what the hell? Do you think this person doesn't eat? Like, it's crazy. Like, especially right now, anybody who's like, well, I didn't come here for politics or whatever. Like, if you can somehow just avoid anything related to governments, protests, police brutality, elections, whatever, at all times, you live in an amazing world. But to expect your content creators to only ever talk about health, for some of these people, not even the specific game you play. Some people, it's like, oh, well, I only followed you when you were doing standard. You're doing modern stuff now. I'm not interested. Unsub. You know, like what?
People are so weird.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I get it. If you were following people for a very specific thing, then awesome. Great. When they're no longer providing that thing, don't follow them. That's totally okay. But to expect them to only ever do that for your entertainment and enjoyment and consumption, it's just silly.
And like, it's things all, that I don't think people do with any other form of entertainment. Does anybody go like, well, you know, hey, Dave Chappelle is not doing Tyrone Biggums anymore. I'm just completely out. I'm never going to watch him again. Okay.
It's like, you're not playing the greatest hits. I'm out, you know? I just don't get it. Like, and I've seen it a lot recently. And maybe because I'm just more connected to more people. Like, I knew it was happening. You know, we mentioned it before in the show. Like, I talked to somebody who literally was streaming a game, but then the weekend came up where they were having to decide if they even wanted to go to a competition for that game, because the last time they did it, they lost a bunch of followers and subs. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, if you follow somebody for a thing and then they go to do that thing competitively, to, I don't know, prove themselves or make some extra money for themselves or whatever, you're going to punish them for that? Like, that's literally the reason you probably even found them in the first place.
That logic. People will watch Walking Dead, which comes back with like 5 episodes, then they're gone for 2 years again. It's mind boggling.
I don't
from anybody else whose content you consume. Yeah.
You're right. Like, that doesn't even make sense when you put it in that perspective. It's even crazier that they're picking and choosing when it's okay. Matter of fact, they're making it okay for a thing that's even bigger with a bigger budget and more money and whatever. But the person who has less going for them that needs to go do those other things to sustain themselves, mm-hmm. You're punishing them for it.
The person who's literally streaming from, like, you know, their Nintendo Switch stream to their computer. This is the person you want to punish.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the thing is, like I said, I get it. If you come to watch me because I'm playing Magic or whatever, and then you show up on a day where I'm playing like Teamfight Tactics or I'm beta testing some new game and you're not interested, that's cool. Like, that's totally okay. But don't badmouth me over it. Don't completely, I don't know, it's hard for me to accept that you're going to tell somebody, oh, I'm a big supporter of yours, I think everything you're doing is great, you know, I think you're an awesome person, and then the minute they post one thing that's not in line with that, I'm out. You know what I mean? That can't hold, like, you weren't a fan, you weren't a supporter.
Yeah, you can't be a supporter and then just, well, I only like that one thing that you play in a certain way, a certain format. Otherwise, I'm just totally, okay, yeah. Then you really aren't a fan of my content at that point. You're a fan of, you know, standard Magic or whatever game mode, whatever game that you like to watch. Which, again, is fine, but don't be, you know, bad-mouthing people for play or taking a break from the thing that they, because again, I know most of these people take breaks from Magic or Madden, I hope.
I don't know. It's tough, man. It really is. And there are people that I follow for certain things, whether it's on YouTube or Twitter or Twitch or whatever. Like, there's a thing they know a lot about. So I'm like, cool, I'm gonna go check this person out. And maybe this week, the video they post on YouTube is a thing I'm not that interested in, or it's a thing I already know about, or whatever. I don't go unsub yet. I'm just like, cool, they'll have more of the thing I want. I'm just not interested in this one. I just don't watch the video. You know what I mean? Like, I still believe in what they're doing. I still support them. So I'll be back when they're telling me more, I don't know, tips on how to be a better streamer or whatever it is. But when they're telling me how to put together a computer, I'm like, yeah, I don't really need that right now. That's fine. But it's crazy, man. I'm sure you've seen that a bit too, going around. Hell, you may have even had it happen to you. I don't know.
Absolutely. I've had people like, oh, well, you're not playing, you know, not playing Madden, or you're not playing the specific mode of Madden that I like. Get out, unsub.
Yeah.
Or they'll just sit there for 3 hours and be like, hey, I wish you were playing such and such. Okay, I did. It was in the stream title what I'm playing today. You never had to even come in here if you really didn't want to see this.
Wait, so you put it in your stream title, and then they just sat there and basically trolled you, trying to get you to change?
Yeah.
Oh, that's even dumber. Like, and that's the thing. I don't, you know what my big mama would say? People just act like they ain't got no home training.
Big mamas would say the same thing.
I mean, that's really it at the end of the day. I mean, that's literally it. It's just, you had like, and I get it. Maybe some people are just angry. Stuff's bad in their world. Maybe they lost somebody to COVID recently. They're not working, you know, whatever, right? I get it. There are problems. And maybe some people are projecting. But this is a thing that's been going on for a while. Like, this isn't even recent. Maybe we're seeing it more now because of all the other stuff going on. But man, people got to get their stuff together.
And when I first experienced it, I'm thinking like, okay, you know, this is probably because of the stage that I'm at. Then I saw, no, Ninja loses subs when he doesn't stream for a couple of days. What, like, wow. Just.
Yeah.
Mind blowing. I don't know if people realize it's not healthy to just have your face to the grindstone every day, 10 hours a day.
Dude, I posted a video over the weekend that I recorded on my phone while I was out camping in the woods. And seriously, I told people, even in the video, I said, I knew me not being available, posting a Magic deck video. And now granted, I had some other preset evergreen content I put up, but I knew it wasn't going to hit as well. I knew I was going to take a hit in my YouTube algorithms. You know, I knew my monetization was going to be down for the day. And you know what? Didn't give a damn. Like, if people just don't like it and people aren't going to be entertained, then that's unfortunate. But like, I'm not going to go out of my way to be something I'm not just for the sake of entertainment. And it's a tough deal, right? Because content creators only make money because people consume their content. And people are only going to come to you if you're being entertaining to them. But at the same time, think about it this way. If you want that person to keep creating content and keep being there for you, you have to treat them like a real person. Or else at some point, either they start blocking you, get rid of you, because that's probably what I would do.
Yeah.
Or they just get stressed out and decide, you know what? I don't even feel like doing this anymore. The reward's not there. I don't care how good the money is. If you just get stressed out or it's wrecking your life or whatever, you're going to walk away. And we've seen people do that. That they said, man, the stress is too... Hell, there's been all types of big name content creators that have walked away because of it.
I mean, when it gets to the point where you actively feel like you're hating the thing you know you love, you know, you got to step back.
I agree.
I've had experiences, you know, I love writing. I've had experiences in journalism that made me actively hate journalism. And yeah, you just got to step back.
So yeah, I just want to say, like, the next time you decide to say something in a YouTube comment or in somebody's Twitch chat or whatever, that's not constructively negative, think about if you should even be saying it. Because more often than not, a lot of that stuff just makes you look bad to all the other people around you. Because it's kind of silly. But stepping off the soapbox, Why don't you tell everybody what you learned last week, Brian?
Well, July 1st is kind of almost a holiday in the baseball community. It's Bobby Bonilla Day. And are you familiar at all that Bobby Bonilla is now a legendary contract?
I am. I would argue that this is the best deal an agent in sports has ever made.
It would have to be. Bobby Bonilla will continue getting paid $1 million a year until he is 75 years old for a season in which he didn't even play for the team that's still paying him. It's just... it's got to be the best agent of all time.
Like, this is the crazy thing about that deal, though, right? Like, somehow, like, already not, I mean, you're getting paid to not even play. Like, that's one thing. But that happens in sports because of a lot of weird contract situations. I get it. But what kind of deal at all, when it's explained to you as a team CFO or a team owner or whatever, when they're like, well, yeah, we're only going to have to pay him this much today, but we'll just prorate it the rest of the season. And then we're going to pay him for the next 35 years, $1 million a year. Like, how is that even remotely okay?
I guess the thing, you know, that you have to look at is for, you know, for people that own baseball teams, at least under ordinary circumstances, $1 million to them is like $10. And yeah, the Mets trend and take ridiculous amounts of hits every year on July 1st when the contract comes up again. But it's also nice to know that sometimes rich people put stuff on credit or layaway just like the rest of us. Because this is a layaway deal. We're going to put Bobby Bonilla on the shelf right now. We'll pay you for him in 10 years.
But you know what? That's the layaway that, like, I'm going to get this new sweet-ass suit and I'm going to put it on layaway. And then you pay on it for 5 years. And then by the time you get the suit, it's already outdated, doesn't fit because you put on another 20 pounds. Like, the whole situation's just a mess. You should have never done it, you know?
Yeah.
But credit to him. Like I said, to him and his agent. Like, there's no, like, any deal. Even, like, hell, Patrick Mahomes, to get too much into sports, just got a ridiculous deal for a 10-year contract. Like, I would still take the Bonilla deal.
Yeah, you're getting money until you're 75. I'm sure he's getting some kind of a pension.
Oh, yeah, there's other money there, too, I'm sure. Yeah. Investments and everything else. But the reality is, even if this dude messed up his finances, you are going to get bailed out to the tune of whatever it is, $1.1 million every year, still for another, what, 20 years or something?
Yeah.
It's unreal. Mind-blowing. So yeah, that's a good one to bring up. That's one I think people really probably didn't know about. But yeah, one of the greatest. I don't know if it's weird, man. I don't even know how to classify that. Is that the greatest deal or the worst deal in sports? Well,
for the Mets, obviously the worst deal. For a player, it's hard to think of a better one.
That's too funny.
You just talk about building a team. I think the Herschel Walker trade still best deal of all time.
Well, that's true. We won't get too deep into that. We'll save a sports episode down the road for people who are sports fans. Maybe we need to make a sports section in the Discord for people who want to talk about that. And we'll tell you about that deal as well. But what I learned last week, after playing a good amount, I guess over the last 2 weeks, playing a lot of Core Set 2021, is that this set actually has a whole lot of tools available for different decks. You know, I think it was immediately easy to look at all the big cards. But there's a lot of little spells, like Lofty Denial has been a great spell counter that's starting to show up in a few decks. Terror of the Peaks has been a nice big finisher, you know, to do some damage late in the game. I mean, there's just a lot of little tools. And the cool thing about this set, I think, is there's a lot of things that feel like they are being planted for the future. So I expect once we see the next two sets, you know, Zendikar and then whatever comes out in the winter, you're going to have to come back to the Core Set 21, and there's going to be a lot of cards there I think you're going to see play a prominent role in several deck lists. So if I were to have a suggestion, I would say, unless you need the cash, because some people do in the current times, don't be in a hurry to sell any of your cards, whether that's Magic Online, whether it's Paper Magic, whatever, from Core Set 2021, because I think some of them have a reasonable chance of increasing in value over the next 6 to 9 months. as we move into this new format, because I feel like this time the core set has even more little seeds there for use in future formats than we've seen in previous core sets.
And I would say, you know, they're tools, but they're fair. Because we've seen things, especially over the past couple of sets, the power creep has been real with stuff like Oko, Companions. So there's good stuff in the set, but so at least so far, in my opinion, nothing is like, oh my God, this is wrecking the format. So that's also a bonus.
Yeah, that's true. They are good cards, but reasonable cards. And I think that's something we have to pay attention to as well, because that's kind of what we've been asking for. So we'll see what that does to Standard over the next, like I said, 6 to 9 months. So let's talk about some more controversial stuff, I guess. Yeah. I don't even know if it's controversial. Maybe that's not the right. Contentious stuff. There we go. That's probably more accurate. Okay. I have to lead into this with a big, I don't know, preamble almost. But before we get into it, I want to say up front, I have zero issue with any adults doing anything sexual with other adults, as long as everybody's consenting to whatever it is they want to do. Like, I genuinely couldn't care less. And in my personal life, I have known people who have worked kink clubs. I still know people who own a swingers club. I have no problem with any of these things. So I have no issue with sex workers, none of that. You know, I am definitely pro women doing whatever you want to do with your body. I got no problem with that. But as we talk about this next subject, I don't want anything I say to be taken as a shot at anybody, because that's not really what's going on here. I'm just talking about it more from just the business perspective, because I believe that's what's been left out of this entire discussion. So for those of you that know where I'm going already, thank you. For those that don't, I'll clarify. There is a Magic content creator that goes by the name Lisbeth Eden, who in the last week or so was removed from the Magic content creator program. Now, granted, various issues with the program we can all agree on. So we're not going to make that part of the discussion, because we know the program still needs a good bit of work. But pretty much everything I'd seen, and people have been asking me, like, what's my opinion on it? Why haven't I said anything? Blah, 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 blah. And a large part of it is I understand the climate in the room. And there's people who would just want to be mad, and they weren't going to want to hear what I had to say. And this is the part where, I feel like I'm playing the role of the bad guy, even though I don't want to.
Heel turn to Quan Watson incoming.
Yep. And this isn't even, and to be fair, like, I'm not even making this a devil's advocate argument, because truthfully, I'm good with it. She should be allowed to do whatever she wants. And hell, I've told you before, if anything, I'm envious, because I don't have the looks to go make some money on an OnlyFans. Let me tell you.
But you look like Morpheus, you know. It's really just somebody that would pay for some Morpheus OnlyFans content.
Yeah, that's... For those of you who didn't see, I posted a thing on Twitter because I got a comment on YouTube that I looked like Morpheus. And, like, I look literally nothing like Lawrence Fishburne. Not even a little bit.
I get the same comments, and you and I look nothing alike.
Yeah, that's what's even crazier, right? People think you look like Morpheus, and yet if you look like Morpheus and I look like Morpheus, how the hell, when we don't look anything alike? That seriously plays into the whole, like, all black people look the same kind of thing.
Yep.
Because, like, if you say I look like so many other celebrities, I could be like, yeah, at least a little bit see it. You know, the nose or the cheekbones or whatever. Like, yeah, kind of. But, like, literally Morpheus, nothing. Hell, at least if I had a shaved, bald head,
yeah,
we could at least jokingly say I'm Morpheus and it would make sense. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And maybe some dark sunglasses or something. I don't know. Anyway, as we get off track here. So, yeah, everybody has been making it about wizards being hypocrites in this scenario. That, well, you use artwork that depicts women scantily clad. but you're cutting somebody from the program for doing something similar. And there's a couple of points here. The first is that when you sign on for any of these things, you do sign agreements, and that's in there. You know, I'm sure you being in media, you've had similar things you've had to sign.
Yeah. A basic don't embarrass the company agreement.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's tough, but it's there. So it's not like it wasn't known. The other issue I came across, because I tried to be completely fair. I mean, I went and watched some of her VODs on Twitch. I watched some of her YouTube stuff. And honestly, she's a pretty good content creator. Like, she's funny. She interacts with her audience well. Like, yeah, nothing really bad to say about her. The problem, though, for as much as she said she kept them separate, I mean, when I Google searched, well, there was some adult stuff that came up first. If you look at images and you don't have safe search on, yeah, you do get an eyeful in a couple of spots. And again, personally, I have no issue with it. But I understand from a business perspective. Because I don't know how things went down behind the scenes. But let's say Mishy Fishy Woo on Twitter, who's kind of the point person for the content creators. If one of her bosses were doing, I don't know, an audit or looking at personalities that draw the biggest numbers of content creators or whatever, and they get to that and they Google search somebody, how do you defend that? And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that, like, if I'm in Mishy's shoes, and I don't, maybe it's somebody else, maybe it's not her. I'm just using her because that's the name and the face that we know. But if you're in that position and your boss says, hey, one of our content creators is out doing adult material, and you're like, well, you know, maybe it's not that big a deal. And they're like, well, I Google searched and this is the first thing I found. Like, what do you do when you're in that spot, right? Like, it's your job or the content creator. In most cases, I'd assume, you know?
I'd ask him to Google Liliana would be my first response.
Sure, but then that comes to the other bigger problem. That this is a dumb American thing. Not necessarily even a Wizards thing. Because I agree, we can look at art all day. And people are okay with it. Hell, fully nude statues or whatever. People don't care. But yet we live in the same country that we can have gun violence on TV and watch people die. But don't let somebody be breastfeeding in the McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... I mean, I don't expect Wizards to change the entirety of American culture. Like, it's just a tough thing to ask. Would we like them to and take a bigger stand? Yeah, sure. But is that a realistic expectation in a corporate world? Well, hell no.
Not from the corporation that we've witnessed over the past 40 weeks or so.
But I don't, not just that, but like, which companies would? Like, can we name any other game companies or technology companies or whatever that would stand behind somebody they're supporting to be a promoter that they find out they're doing adult material?
Probably the guys that own Ben and Jerry's probably would. They seem like they're rabble rousers, you know, and
yeah, you're right. They probably would.
They would. But yeah, the list of major corporations that are going to do it is, yeah,
it's very small. And then here's the other thing from the for real business side. And this is the thing I don't think anybody at all has touched on. That in the US, Magic's rated T for teen. In Europe, I believe, throughout the European Union, it's rated 12 and up. That gives you access to things, especially, and also let's remember that if I'm not mistaken, Magic is the only thing in Hasbro's portfolio that's even rated above anything for like 11 or 12 year olds. So when you talk about being part of the New York Toy Fair or doing certain ad campaigns or getting into certain magazines or working with high schools or colleges or whatever, or even, and I don't even know, but there are a lot of partnerships they're trying to create now with people who make clothing, people that make statues, you know, people that are making mobile apps, all these different companies. Like, that probably changes the nature of those deals or even what their partners will and won't produce, depending, because then they are dealing in products that are 18 plus. You know what I mean? Because you can't.
I see what you're saying, but I would say, you know, again, it's the double standard of, you know, basically who's making the decisions, because I see so many of it. For example, my kids, you know, watch a bunch of Disney shows. There are quite a few jokes in some of these shows that go, you know, where only adults, hopefully, are going to pick them up. And almost all these shows are written by men. Or if they're not written by men, the executive producer is a guy.
Oh, agreed. I'm not, again, this is dumb American society. I'm not saying I like it, and I'm not saying I even agree with it. I think it should totally be much more open than it is. And this is the part where it sucks, you know, being looked at as the bad guy in this scenario, because I'm totally 100% on board with her right to do whatever she wants and get paid damn well for it. Like, don't hate that at all. But I do look at Wizards' perspective and Hasbro's, I guess, in this case, and say, like, I understand why. And I'm sure we both know of multiple content creators, hell, even magic personalities, that have some other private material and some OnlyFans stuff.
Or, as Lizbeth mentioned, if we're not even just talking about OnlyFans, just innuendos like, you know, I tap that. How many times have we seen that shared in the magic and content creation communities? And obviously, and not even an overt, a straight up sexual reference.
And sadly, I think even that's viewed differently by the public. And it sucks. But like I said, I know there's a lot of other personalities out there that have some private material, but they are kept separate. And the average person doesn't know. And if somebody at corporate were to go look up their Twitch name, their adult name is different. And then you just won't find it.
I'm thinking even if she has a different name for the account, once somebody at Wizards is aware of it, I think they still make the same decision. Just,
and they might. And that's totally fair. Like, I get that. Like, I'm not saying it wouldn't eventually happen. But I'm saying in this case, I see where it could have happened and how it happened. But it's tough, right? Because, I mean, even now, like, if I just go Google search, first one, totally clean. It's her Twitter link, right? Not a big deal. Like, you know, some bikini shots, whatever, and her just being herself. That's fine. But then the next link is a Reddit link that literally is all about, as far as I can tell, the adult material. And it just kind of goes from there, right?
And again, who gets to make these decisions? Room full of dudes.
That's my assumption.
Missy is probably the only woman, I'm guessing, that would have even been kind of consulted in this process. And we don't know whether she was consulted or was just told, hey, no, get rid of her.
Yeah, but truthfully, here's the thing. In that position, I don't even know if it matters if it was a male or female. I really don't. Man or woman. Because at some point, like I said, it's going to be a corporate decision.
And it's a corporation that unfortunately has massive problems with diversity.
Oh, we can talk about that in a second. Like, that's definitely something we're about to cross again. And that's what I was trying to tell people too. Like, I'm not absolving Wizards of saying they don't have flaws. Because, hell, just like we said, the whole content creation program as a whole needs a rework.
But, you know, they said they'd listen. They said, you know, they would try to make the game more diverse. And as far as we know, the only, I guess, sex worker that's creating content bounced. Didn't even get a warning, apparently, just you're out.
But I don't, but that's the thing. I don't, like, does that fill a diversity quota or need?
I mean, if you need people who aren't white dudes, yeah, straight, if you need people who aren't straight white dudes, and clearly this company does.
Sure, but I'm not saying, like, that doesn't, like, if I go say something ridiculous, or I go do something that's viewed as harmful to the brand, well, then I can't be mad that they kicked me out of the program. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a diversity thing. That's just...
I think it's a diversity thing if nobody of color or nobody of a different background is even consulted before the decision is made.
Sure, to a point. But I just can't... like I said, in this scenario, I just see too many ways. And again, does it come down from on high? Most likely.
Yeah, but, sure, this probably is something that Hasbro was involved in. It sounds like the kind of thing where the corporate suits would get involved in.
But again, I come back to, if you're trying to have the game grow and you're trying to create these partnerships and you're trying to work with schools, and which they have, they've created these things for like libraries and all this other stuff. Like, how do you expect to promote that if people are going to look back and say outright, well, you are like promoting effectively adult content creators as the main supporters or promoters of your games?
I mean, I wouldn't say main, because she, as far as I know, is the only person with the OnlyFans in the or no longer in the program.
But. No, but what I'm saying, though, is that's what people want based on these arguments, that can be open, you can promote it, you can do whatever. Like, if we're in that world, that's what we're looking at. And I'm trying to be very, very careful here because I don't want to straw man this thing.
I understand.
But if we're saying, okay, cool, we need to keep Lisbeth Eden regardless of all the adult content, then now is it okay for everybody else who has adult or questionable content to promote it alongside their magic stuff or on their same social media channels or whatever?
And they do still have a writer on staff. And again, Elizabeth wasn't even on staff. She at this point hadn't gotten time from Wizards, but there is a writer on Wizards payroll that has written a book sexualizing underage girls.
Yep. And I'm fine with that dude getting the boot too. We can set him on fire and throw him out the door. Like, that's fine. No, I don't want to set him on fire, but we can kick him out the door.
But as of the time we've taped this a couple of times at this point, he's still there. And again, he's not in the creator program getting paid in gems. This is guys on staff, on the payroll, I guess, making his living writing about Magic the Gathering.
100% agree. Still not disagreeing with that point. Like, still think that dude needs to go too. Like, I think
women are getting punished while guys are... I haven't even heard anybody at Wizards speak on this issue.
Sure. And this has been a known issue. So I'm with you.
We're not breaking news here. This guy and his work is well known.
Yeah, so that dude getting the boot, I'm all for it. And this comes back to my point that the couple of people I've talked to about this are playing me as a bad guy when I'm like, no, I literally support all these other things still happening too. Like, I'm not trying to give anybody else a pass.
Because every point you brought up about Lisbeth would apply to this guy too.
Agreed.
And he should still go too. If partners such as Netflix and Walmart do, they'd be, if those are the two options, they, I think, would be way more offended by the guy writing about underage girls than the woman dressing like, you know, Liliana or Chandra or whoever.
I get it. I'm on your side. Hell, the thing I keep saying is we let people in society get away with that. But we are the same society that will raise hell about somebody busting out a boob to feed a baby. And it's dumb. But I get it. That's from a business perspective. Now, granted, still saying the other dude's got to go. not even remotely trying to defend that. But I get how people from the outside are going to give that a pass, even though they probably shouldn't. They're going to. And I think that's what makes the whole situation messed up. Because I wouldn't want that person writing for me or any projects I'm involved in. And like I said, I generally have no problem with Lizbeth doing her thing. Hell, to be honest, I ain't even going to lie. If I thought I could get down on some OnlyFans, like, I'd just drop myself from the damn creator program. For real.
Morpheus After Dark, starring the Clone.
For real. See if I wouldn't get on that. Like, for real. So, yeah, and so that's my thing.
I'm losing it.
I'm just saying, man. I'm being honest. Like, I'm not fronting. Like,
I would too. If anybody would actually pay me to make an OnlyFans, yeah, my wife would probably have an issue with it unless I got paid really well.
Oh, mine wouldn't even. She'd be like, "Yeah, cool. If you didn't get paid, go for it." And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the thing that's tough for me, right? Because I don't have an issue with any of it. But even myself, I think about projects I've been involved in. Like, okay, let's go back to when I have my store, right? And I'm doing stuff with youth groups, with middle schools, with children's charities. How much could I promote my employees being involved in a thing or coming to do work at some of these things if it was publicly known that they were doing adult material?
And also, like, just a couple of podcasts ago, we talked about, you know, how so many, in my opinion, so many people saw this thing about Magic the Gathering being racist, when in reality, on the ground at your average Friday Night Magic, or even in your stream, you talked to countless people that hadn't heard a thing about it.
Yeah.
I think the same applies here. Does anybody at Walmart know about Lizbeth Eden or anybody at Netflix?
I would assume not.
Large numbers of them probably don't. Haven't heard a word about it. They're not on the Magic forums.
Agreed. But we also know how much or how little it takes for one of those stories to blow up, too. Yeah. And that's the problem. Because like I said, it's tough, man. Because like I said, I just genuinely don't care that she's doing it. I don't, but I get it from a business perspective. And I really, honestly, just wish it wasn't even that way. Because like I said, I don't know, like, this is showing how old we are, but like, if Jenna Jameson, who was a known porn star, decided to take up magic, like, would we be okay with her being a promoter of magic and being sponsored on magic content or whatever? Honestly, I don't care.
I feel like she would get turned down because that's something that would make international news. There'd be an outcry, and yeah, she would get denied, or she got let in the first time. Sure, she'd get kicked out pretty soon.
Sure. But it shouldn't matter. That's the thing, right? Like, if she enjoys the game and she's bringing more people to it and whatever, really, it shouldn't matter. But the average person,
you would bring more people. There's no doubt of that.
Yeah, but the average person, or average American, I would say, would very likely read that story, and then immediately everybody who wants to have anything bad to say about Magic, Hasbro, Wizards, D&D, whatever, is going to have all the ammo they want.
Do you think maybe Magic should consider doing Attitude Era WWE and upping the age range? Because again, look at some of these cards. They're not 13 and up.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, that is a question.
Because if you go into your average Magic tournament, I think still overwhelming majority of people are 18 and up. There's going to be, new people that are, like, for example, my kids are in the 13 and have no interest in Magic. Zero.
But there are a lot to do. And honestly, part of that is also, this is kind of getting off track a little bit here, but this is also a result of past efforts, right? They didn't focus well on youth groups like they've been doing recently, like helping school groups, helping libraries, you know, community centers, things like that. They weren't doing before. So these next two or three years may be the first time we see a reduction in the average age of a Magic player. But if you want to continue those efforts so you can continue to grow the game, I don't know.
Or do you just do largely what the video game industry has done, said, okay, yeah, Mortal Kombat has a mature rating, but we're all aware kids are playing it.
Maybe. I mean, I can't count the number of times I've been in a video game spot and, like, if even when we sold used video games, there were literally parents that would be like, eh, I don't know about these other games. They're all blah, blah, whatever. But with their kid letting them buy Grand Theft Auto. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Right? Like, you're worried about what they might see in, like, a D&D book with some, like, I don't know, scantily clad, stupid chainmail armor on a woman. But you're okay with them going and, like, getting hookers and selling drugs in Grand Theft Auto? Like, okay.
I had this argument with a former...
By the way, I apologize. I just realized I don't even know if I should be saying hooker anymore. I'm not being funny. I'm being serious. Like, I don't even know. Well, so I apologize.
In the game, that is how they were. But yeah, I see your point.
Yeah. So I'm going to rush to get this one out. So I'm not going to edit that out. But I'm apologizing if that's a thing because I for real don't know. But anyway, back on the point. Like I said, I still would support her if she needed anything, if she wanted to work on a thing. Like, I have nothing against her as a person or what she's done. I am just saying this because some people have asked me and some people have not liked my stance. And just saying, like, I get it from a business perspective. And because American society is dumb, as a whole, we are. I mean, hell, not to get super political, but... I mean, okay, you are.
I thought it cut out for a second. All right.
I was like, but just look at our mask situation right now, and that'll tell you how Americans treat things.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately a societal problem that leads to a tough business decision. And I personally don't like it, but I get it. Because I don't realistically expect Wizards or Hasbro to make that type of decision or something that's going to affect the bottom line, especially in a year where things are already sucking, to go down that road at the expense of somebody that you have realistically no real investment in.
Yeah, I get that, you know, getting rid of somebody that's not an employee is the easiest decision in the world from a financial standpoint, because it's an independent contractor relationship. I've been in a few of those in my showbiz career, and yeah, sometimes the easiest thing for them to do is to just let the person that isn't on the payroll go. I'm not saying it's right, but...
Yeah, I'm saying, like I said, I'm not saying I agree with it, not saying I like it. I'm just saying I get it. But all right, let's move forward. I'll let everybody drag me over that in the comments or send me ugly DMs about it or whatever. I mean, I'm sure that's going to happen. But moving on, since we touched on the diversity issue, another, I believe it's a gentleman by the name of Orion Black, was released from Wizards of the Coast. Upon his release, he wrote about a 2-page letter. Or post, detailing some things that happened during his time there. And there's some stuff we won't touch on, because there's stuff that, without details or whatever, there's corporately handled things that are things that happen in a lot of business that I don't want to get into. But particularly, we will talk about, you know, this furthering of the diversity problems. Because I think that's something we can still definitely talk about from what he put out there. And the the toughest thing, well, really, there's two things for me that stand out. The first is that if you're in wizard shoes, and this is kind of what we were talking about a second ago, right? Like, diversity doesn't mean you can't just not let anyone go that's from a group that you have less representation from. However, it's going to look real bad.
And I would say at this point, when it's at emergency level lack of diversity, I would argue you absolutely don't let anybody out the door. That
well, I don't know if I'd say that as much as I would say at least do it with more clarity and explanation.
Yeah.
Right. If you're going to like say I was still doing work with them for some reason, like, well, let's say I'm doing commentary and stuff with them. Right. Like at some point they just decide, hey, we decided we don't want you to do commentary anymore. Only thing I would say is, all right, cool. Can you at least tell me why? And if it's just like, hey, you know, we surveyed people or whatever, and you got the lowest reviews or whatever, all right, fine. I get it. But if you just let me go with no explanation, and then you don't have any other darker skinned people doing commentary for the next few months, that's just real bad look. You know what I mean? Like, that's not helping your case any.
Just looking back at the various issues we've covered over the past few weeks, think about how many of these could have been prevented had they talked to a woman or a black person or someone of the LGBTQ community. It's just how many of these issues could have been either prevented altogether or at least... They could have had the defense of, hey, we talked to such and such person, they gave us this feedback, and we implemented it, or we said, no, we disagree, and then we went ahead. They don't have that shield, because in most cases, nobody of a different background was consulted when these decisions took place.
For sure. For sure. And that's why I don't necessarily... That's why we're saying we're not touching on some of the other things, because there's stuff talking about, like, contractors and... job, you know, created ideas and things like that. And those are things that are more like corporate business things that happen all the time. So I'm trying not to touch on those too much.
Yeah.
But in the direct sense of Wizards of the Coast, one of the other point I was getting to that came up is Greg Tito also made some posts saying that, like, hey, I get it. I wish this didn't happen this way. You know, I've been trying to get this change for a couple of years, blah, blah, blah. And I have met Tito before, like, cool dude, no problems with him, like, and I have no reason not to believe that what he posted is genuine. So if he's even saying that, it's like, okay, cool, then somebody missed a mark somewhere.
I mean, it'd be one thing if we were talking about, you know, the construction industry or a plumber job. We are literally talking about ideas and intellectual property. A company that's trying to show a diverse stretch of worlds over a multiverse and different types of people. You can't do that without different types of people.
Agreed.
The Kamigawa issues could have been prevented had anybody of specifically Japanese, but I'm sure almost anyone Asian would have looked at some of the stuff coming up about Kamigawa and said, hey, I don't think you should play it that way.
Yeah, and see, and that gets tough too, because part of it is you look at some things and go like, man, I'm just glad they're even remotely giving something similar to what I relate to, you know? But at the same time, you know, you're like, yeah, but I'm also kind of taking the lesser of the things because they're throwing me a bone.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's a tough thing, you know, And it's interesting, too, trying not to read too much into, like, Greg Tito's comments. It's just like, and this is kind of what comes back to trying to dodge some of the other stuff in the letter, is that he's not even totally saying, like, hey, we shouldn't have let you go or whatever. But there's a lot of, like, it definitely shouldn't have happened like this. You know what I mean? So I don't know what else was going on there. I don't know about past work. I don't know about job performance. I don't know. But having employees there also saying, like, hey, and he's saying publicly, that you're right. Like, this should have been different. This is stuff I've been asking for a couple of years, you know, whatever. Like, okay, cool. Some stuff needs to be changing. And we talked about this off the air, right? We don't, especially with COVID situation being what it is and all that, like, I don't know when they're going to expand their personnel or rosters in the future. Like, I don't know if it's 3 months, 5 months, whatever. So I'm willing to give a little bit of leeway. But if somewhere around like the 6 month mark, we don't start seeing some proactive stuff or seeing some actions or some policies or whatever changing. And for sure, once you get beyond like the 9 to 10 month mark, because I get it, like corporations, your big slow boats, takes you a while to turn sometimes. I get it. There's paperwork that's got to change and legal stuff, whatever. But at some point, if you don't start seeing things, you're going to start losing that leg you're trying to stand on.
And as somebody that's worked there, I know you've talked about how, you know, y'all have had meetings, for example, talking about just things like, you know, what Kaya's hair should look like and what, you know, and bringing an artist to specifically work on her hair. Now, is there a quote unquote diversity department, or is that just a thing that kind of happens from the people that are already inside the room?
There's not so much a department as much as there is a diversity committee that's just made up of people from around the company.
So and it's, is that voluntary or is that somebody's specific job or?
It's technically voluntary, but you do get company time and pay for participating in it.
And I'd
so say I don't even know how that qualifies.
Yeah. And at this point, I would argue, shouldn't it be somebody's job since they are doing such a, at this point, just going to say really bad job at diversity in so many departments?
Quite possibly. Or appoint somebody to HR or something to deal with it. Like, I don't know. That would probably be the easier route.
Because I know when I worked for Technology Tell, they didn't specifically hire me for a diverse viewpoint, but when we discussed what stories we're going to talk about, it just became kind of my job to, hey, anybody seen Empire's ratings? We should probably mention that. You know, it's, at the time, it was going through the roof. So I just
put on
that responsibility in addition to my other, and I know a lot of people, you know, since you're already in some cases doing 15 different things, none of which gets you a bump in pay or benefits. I get it. You know, that sometimes the voluntary stuff sometimes just, even if you want it to happen, sometimes it just doesn't happen quickly.
Yeah, that's fair.
But if it's somebody's specific job and you got somebody that, like you said, in 6 to 10 months, go to like, hey, weren't you working on finding some more diverse hires? You know, what's up with that?
And honestly, the biggest one and the easiest one right now is what we touched on the last episode, is that you now have clearly two positions that are available within the artist community. Like, your artist contracts have two that have been now removed and or canceled. So, you know, if you're looking for a chance to hire that gay artist, the trans artist, the black artist, the Hispanic artist, whatever, this is your opportunity. And it's largely public stories. It's, I mean, honestly, this is an underhanded pitch, easy win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got rid of these two big problems in the gaming community, not even Magic community, because those stories became public and other people are not working with them now. You obviously had enough artwork to go around that those two were getting commissions. So what are you going to do? And to me, this is the easiest one. Because I can get like, all right, can you find the right fit for a certain department and a certain skill set and whatever? Like, you can look at an artist's work and go like, hey, you can do the kind of art we want. You know what I mean? Like, that's not even a thing. So, hell, and there's people out there. People have recommended some. So at the very least, we should at least see them get brought on board. And even if their artwork wasn't going to appear for like a year from now, like, I would at least make it public. Like, hey, we looked into some of the suggestions and we're going to give these couple of artists a shot. Their stuff will appear in this set in 10 months or whatever. Because that's the easiest PR win from a diversity perspective. But I don't even know if we're going to see that.
the world is watching at this point.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I don't know how much of a story this Orion Black thing is, but it does underscore some of the other diversity things that we've seen.
That's if I were, you know, if I were pitching it at a magazine or newspaper, it'd be like, in addition, you know, while this may not be the huge story you're looking for, it's part of the ongoing coverage of serious problems with diversity inside this company.
Exactly. Exactly. And the only thing I would be careful with, and I think I've mentioned this before, even both, hell, all through the game, when I had my store, when I worked for Wizards, when I'm doing this, like, we do as a community have to be careful about becoming the boy that cried wolf.
Yeah.
Like, because like I said, this Orion Black thing, I had a couple people send it to me, and I was like, okay, but what's the story you want here? You know, because most of this just seems like corporate junk. But if we're saying, okay, let's keep a focus on the diversity issue, because that's the real problem here that we can key on. Let's keep our eye on the prize. You know what I mean? Like, not every single thing somebody says or every single time somebody is wronged by a company for whatever reason or gets fired or whatever, is it as big a story as it is. Like, it's just not. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody or say like some people are more or less important or whatever, but we just know that it's not. But if we keep doing that, we're going to drown out the bigger issues. And right now we have enough big issues to keep our eyes on. So if you want to hold WotC accountable, cool. Let's pick out our two or three big points and say, okay, you want to start dealing with them? We'll start putting stuff in buckets showing every time you fail at these major things. And then you prove to us that you're no longer failing at them. But if we keep going, yeah, but there's this thing, and oh, there's this thing, and there are small issues that we're like, yeah, but they should still be doing better. It's like, yeah, sure, but that's a small thing compared to everything else. Like, let's keep our eye on the prize and make sure they're putting the pedal to the metal on the other stuff. Because don't get me wrong, I think there's always going to be problems. Because no matter what we say, and don't get me wrong, like, we are much closer to Wizards, we are much closer to Magic, and we want that to be better in every way. But you know as well as I do, gaming as a whole is a reflection of some junky parts of our society, and it just permeates the whole thing. So I'm not going to put everything on Wizards to solve all the ills of the game community, but there are some big issues in our own community that they can tackle and fix. So for me, like I said, if you want to talk about diversity stuff, I'm keeping my eye on this whole artist situation, seeing what happens, because I think that's like the easy first step, and I want to see if they get that right. But moving on to some lighter news. The Mac update, that didn't go nearly as badly as people thought. Like, there was all these people like, I don't want to have to download Epic Games to get Arena and blah, blah, blah. But I've literally seen no complaints about anything related to Epic Games in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, like I said, I guess it's one thing, you know, if you hate monopolies, I get that aspect of it. But just what Epic Games is doing in terms of giving, as I mentioned last week, I believe, or about 2 weeks ago now, if you had signed up, you know, when they first opened the Epic Games store, you've received over $2,000 worth of free games. They ain't paying me to say this. I just like free games. I hope you do too.
Hey, if anybody from Epic Games is listening and you would like to pay us to promote Epic Games, my DMs are open.
For real. Right. And I'm not talking about, these are not just all indie games. They're giving away things like Civilization 6, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Now, I will say, Mac users get to feel our pain in having some of the same update and arena issues or whatever. But that's an arena thing. That's not really an Epic Games thing. But I just wanted to bring that up because there was a lot of people that seemed really upset about that. And honestly, as far as I could tell from web searching and stuff quickly, it seems to be largely a non-issue.
I will say, in the gaming community, there's a lot of worries about exclusivity. And I mean, I get that aspect of it, but again, Epic is just doing a really good job of, I guess, trying to, I mean, they're trying to make it right for the gamer. If you just hate exclusive contracts, I understand that aspect of it, but then that's been in gaming since the beginning, and I think will, to some aspect, be there at its end.
That's fair. That's fair, because I don't love exclusives myself, but if somebody's doing a real good job of something, I kind of get why people go back and use them. And it seems like in this case, Epic Games seems to be doing right by everybody. So, I don't know. It's a tough one.
I don't want to be that gamer. Why isn't Gears of War on the PlayStation? Because Microsoft made it and paid for it.
Well, yeah. Also, event updates. There's a lot of things coming down the pipe we want to tell people about. So there's an event. For those of you who don't know, there's been a, I don't know if they even want me to make it public, but we have a secret Discord channel for all the Black Magic players. I don't know how secret
it
is.
You were keeping it on the hutch. It's out there.
It's all right. A bunch of people won't be able to do the secret handshake, so we're okay.
I can't. I hadn't even learned it yet.
But we're going to be doing an event in August. It's going to be featuring, because one of the things that's come up is a lot of people said, I don't know enough Black content creators. I would like to know more. I would like to know what they do, how to find them, whatever. So there's going to be an event that features all Black content creators. It's going to have all Black commentary team. It's going to have an all Black admin team, I guess, production team. That's going to happen in August. Like I said, I'll get the date here and post it probably on next week's episode. But that's coming up pretty quick. And it's a cool project. You know, I have no idea who all is going to watch it, how many people are going to be interested. You know, it is going to be streamed, so everybody can watch it on Twitch. And honestly, I think it's cool. This is a way that it's going to be right in your face. Anybody who wants to see the people, who wants to know about them. Hell, if nothing else, there'll at least be a video on demand link you could link to. So people can't say, like, well, I don't know who's out there anymore. I mean, bare minimum, you're going to get 11, 12 to 15 different personalities working on the project that will be showcased that you can go follow their stuff. So just want to put that out there, something for people to keep their eyes on. I do have another couple of commentary gigs coming up. So I'll be doing some more stuff with the CFB Pro Showdown next weekend. And then the following weekend, I'll be getting to do some with Wizards of the Coast again for the Players Tour Final, I think is what it's being called. So that's the thing we've got coming up. And then there's also the Plague League, which is just a fun tournament with a quirky name. However, I'm going to be participating in that on July 11th, and Brian's going to be doing commentary, so that's going to be a bit different.
And I'm assuming you're going to give me your match to commentate on, because why would you not do that?
Well, you can't just not take an opportunity when it presents itself, so they kind of have to, right?
That's what I'm thinking.
So yeah, like I said, there's just a ton of good stuff coming down the pipe. There's lots of good events coming, lots of opportunities for us to be involved in things, and I just think it's very cool. You know, like I've said it before, I don't know how long the momentum's going to last, how long people are going to particularly want to know more about Black content creators or the Black community or whatever. But I'm at least appreciative in the moment of those things happening. So we can at least get these opportunities and start these conversations and at least get the exposure right now while we can. Other news, artist stuff. I got a new emote artist, so that got handled. I'm hopefully going to have those here by Friday, so mm-hmm. Get to at least look at those. But man, we still need a new cover artist for the podcast. I haven't had anybody step up yet. So anyone, if you're listening to this, if you're anywhere in our sphere, whether you're listening to this podcast or you mostly follow our other stuff, one of our Twitch channels or YouTube channels, reach out to us. We want an artist that's in our sphere because it's easier to work with an artist that already understands what you're doing, your feel, your concepts, whatever. If not, if you know an artist that needs some work right now, especially because of COVID and maybe they did some other work that they're getting less calls or something, shoot me their email link or their website link so I can at least look at their portfolio and see if maybe we can just pick somebody. Because we need to get this done soon. I have some things I need to create so I can send out to some people. And, you know, like I said, we're getting some more exposure lately. I want to, I don't know, get some new furniture for the house, you know?
I would like new furniture. That's awesome.
So yeah, if y'all know somebody, please, please, please send them our way. Again, DMs are open. But rolling into the dinner table talk segment here, one of the things we've been kind of debating when we were going to throw this one in on a show, and this a little bit kind of stems from the events and stuff we've been talking about, and it's just the concept of normalizing minority groups in your spaces. And I've worded that very particularly because I'm talking about all minority groups, whatever groups those people represent. And whatever your space is, doesn't even have to be magic particularly, or even gaming particularly. There are a lot of groups that could use some diversity advancement. And the tough part, you know, is that I think people, and I don't want to say people are just giving lip service to things, because I think there are a lot of people saying the right things and have the right intent and do mean what they're saying. But there's a very big difference between saying, hey, we're doing this thing on Friday that we're leaving open for people to show up, and comparing that to, hey, we're doing this thing Friday, but I particularly want you to be there. Like, those are two completely different things. You know, if you're saying, well, yeah, Black Lives Matter, and yeah, we should be giving more people an opportunity, but then you're not saying, hey, I have this thing going on, let me see if I can get you involved in this project. Or heck, if you're involved with the project, let's give you a shot to be a lead on the project every once in a while. You know, get people used to seeing those faces, getting used to hearing those ideas, getting used to seeing or hearing those perspectives. I mean, I've told you before that one of the reasons I shoot my YouTube videos the way I do is I try on most of my videos to open and close at the bare minimum that people get to see me for at least a full minute's worth of time, just full screen having a conversation. So that becomes a normal thing for people, that you get used to seeing a Black person talking to you. I don't know if I'd say from a position of authority, but at least from a position of knowledge in the gaming and magic space.
I think at this point we can say you have a position of authority.
Maybe to some. But it's all about that normalizing that visual, that look in your mind, in your space, that it shouldn't be weird if you see some magic thumbnails and you kind of drag your cursor over those things and you're like, oh, that one has a Black dude, that's weird, you know, whatever. Like, it should be just like, oh, yeah, there's another magic person, right? Or whatever it is.
You don't even have to be magic. I know you know, always deflect the praise, but I had a similar situation where somebody called me when I was still working as a newspaper reporter, wanted me to do a radio interview on a show about people who've made a difference in the community. And at this point, I was a very low-level reporter of the local paper. I'm asking them, I don't feel like I've made a difference. And they're looking at me like, hey, Chucklehead, you're one of only three or four Black people at this newspaper. Yeah, the fact that you are in the chair you are in is a big difference from what we're used to seeing.
I could totally get that.
Like, oops, you know, that didn't occur to me until it was explained to me.
Well, you know, that is kind of like what happened when we had John on a couple of weeks ago with JRR2, yeah, right? Until he said on the show, I had no idea. He specifically said he started doing content creation because he caught one of my streams. You know, and since then, there's been a couple of other people that have started because they caught some of his streams. So just having those faces available, just having those people speaking, having those people sharing their perspectives or their histories or whatever opens up the door for the next person to want to do it. And like I said, it's a big difference between saying like, yeah, we should be doing this or this should be the norm versus like saying, okay, hey, let me particularly make sure this person's involved. And again, let me give credit where it's due. Like, I did a deal with Covert Go Blue last week. Was great. We got on, we did a deck doctor thing, you know, all of his chat people submitted decks and we We drew different ones and it was fun, right? We had a good time. People loved it. They liked me. I got a bunch of followers on my YouTube stuff. It was great. Credit to CGB. And he's been bringing different people on recently to do that. So credit to him. I want to give credit where it's due.
Yes.
If you don't follow Covert Go Blue
on all the things. So again, thanks for that.
Oh, good. Awesome. So like if you don't follow him, go do it. Go follow him on YouTube. Go follow him on Twitch. Good guy. I saw that the professor has had a couple of people on recently. A couple of black people on to talk about different things. Very cool. You know, he's got probably the biggest platform for Magic right now, at least on YouTube. And he's putting people on. You know, I just did a, well, this is probably going to go live on the following Monday, but I just got done doing a thing with Pleasant Kenobi. And people who follow him on YouTube, or he's been on, he does some stuff with the professor as well. Like, he's been trying to find some different people to put on. So he's going to basically starting a series that he's going to have some people on over the next few weeks as well. And honestly, all of these efforts are important because these are some of the biggest, most heavily followed creators in our community. And when they're reaching out saying, hey, I want to bring these people on, that does a lot because their voices have more weight. And some of it just becomes like, well, if this person thinks they're okay, then maybe I should go check out their stuff. And then that helps bring up these other people and puts them on an equal level with some of the other people that they wouldn't have had the opportunity to before. You know, it's one of the reasons I am so excited about the recent press and publicity and kind words we've gotten about the show that have gotten some more people to download it. Because when we started, I had no idea if us bringing Ellie on or Tappy Toe Claws or Nessa on or whatever to talk about these different things was going to reach anybody. Because, you know, the first couple weeks we're like, all right, well, we got like 800 downloads. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But when we have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 downloads on an episode in a week, it's like, okay, well, now we're starting to reach a real number of people. And we're really starting to get to put these people on and they can talk about their projects and talk about their life and talk about their difficulties. You know, that becomes a big deal. And this, and that is included in this whole normalizing minorities thing, right? Helping us get to a base where we can promote more of these people. Like, even that has its own benefits.
Yeah, because all the things we've talked about, you know, like, oh, such and such company should do this. That's what's great about social media is in so many cases, we don't have to wait. Again, you don't have to be in Wizards Content Creator Program to create content. I encourage everybody, go if you got an idea, get out there. Because, you know, I'm somebody that like I was always, you know, well, my computer isn't good enough or, you know, I'm not good enough at Magic. Get out there. Go do the thing. And then, you know, and let it grow.
Yeah, if I can say anything to people that, you know, maybe you are a black person that just like, hey, I don't know that many people in my communities that game that are going to be okay with seeing a black person doing content regularly. Or maybe you're trans or gay or whatever, and you've been ridiculed for it or bothered by it. Or I don't know, maybe you're uncertain of how people are going to react to that. I just want to say, like, there are enough people out there that do give a damn. There are enough people that it matters to. And if you can muster up the fortitude to do it, just put something out there. Like, the first step is just to start, just to take the chance. I mean, hell, I put up some YouTube videos where I was just like, you know what? I'm probably going to get like 20 views. Like, I just did the thing, you know, until some people were following my Twitch stuff and they were like, oh, hey, I didn't know you did YouTube stuff. And like, okay, well, now my videos are getting like 100 views. Like, that's awesome. You know, and you just build it up.
And like, there's never. Just, you know, get 20 views. That's 20 people that took time out of their day, you know, out of the hundreds of millions of YouTube videos they could have watched. They spent 9 or 10 minutes of their life watching your video.
Yeah. I mean, it sadly takes people. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, The people who have the advantage, great. Do your part to help support and promote and encourage these other people. But it's also on some level, we have to take the chance. You got to put yourself out there because more people seeing more people like them or more people that share their story or more people that have a similar background encourages them to come forward and start participating. But that's really where some of it starts is we don't just say it's a good idea to have these people as part of your community. Like, do something proactive to make people see they are part of your community. Whether that's bringing them on your shows, commenting and participating on their social media stuff, recommending them when somebody, for an art project, like hell, right now, if you know somebody who fits one of those minority groups and wants to do some artwork, like, we got an opportunity, you know, like bring them our way, like, but do what you can to promote those people and their work and their projects, because that's the only way we really start changing these conversations. Because we can say, yeah, it's not right to treat people this way or say these things or whatever, but it's so easy to do that when those people aren't present and active in those communities. So if we make that more normal, we start to break down those other barriers and saying, okay, yeah, you kind of wanted to say that, but now you know there's like five black dudes hanging out. Probably shouldn't say that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But anyway, do you have anything you want to tack onto that?
I think you nailed it, as always, sir.
I don't know. Sometimes I just think I talk too damn much, truthfully.
This is a good industry to be in if you feel like you talk too much.
I don't know, man. I am still surprised people will listen to me after, like, I don't know, the 10 or 12, actually longer than that. It's probably about 15 hours worth of content I put out every week.
Yeah, I feel but like yeah, man. 15 hours just on YouTube videos because Tish gets a notification. He's like, my God, he's some kind of a machine.
I'm just trying hard, man. I'm just trying. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After. So if you like house tours, we probably got one of those coming up.
That sounds like fun, man. Anybody who watches all that HGTV stuff, they're going to be into that. Yeah, if you want to find me, I am at Power Dragon, PowerDragn on most social platforms. You can almost always find me every day on YouTube with new content and streaming on Twitch Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, 9 p.m. to midnight. But we ran a little bit long. I think we ended up with even more things to say in this retaping of the episode. But wherever you are listening from, whenever you are listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, and stay safe out there. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us at our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.